Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. See, look at that. He's paving the road with silver. Well, it is well beyond him to have any silver in the house. And cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale. You know what? The beauty of studying this book, you don't actually remember things, but they're in your mind when you study them over and over again.
Yeah, you actually are building them.
Yes. That Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen, yarn, and king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150. And so all of the kings of the Hittites, for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means. So let's go back to 29 and look at that again. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and a horse for 150 shekels. And so all the kings of the Hittites and for the kings of Syria did they bring them out by their means. So there is a major military industrial complex going on there. Chapter 11. The King Solomon loved many strange women. Why does the Bible put strange women? What is a Hebrew supposed to do, Jonathan?
Yeah, they're supposed to, I mean, you can be around people, but you're not supposed to mingle.
You're supposed to, yeah. Right. What did Moses say? What did God say multiple times? When right. you go in there, don't mingle with them. Don't right. have children with them. Don't give your sons to their daughters. King Solomon loved many strange women. I can imagine him sitting in his on his throne, looking at a worldwide catalog of virgins. Oh, I don't have one from there yet.
Yeah.
Send and get her for me. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Amorites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them. God said, don't do it. What I say about excess, Christian? Your heart stops following after God. The flesh starts to take control.
Spirit man gets really sleepy.
Yes. Could he have stopped at 300 wives? Possibly. But no, by that time the spirit man was very sleepy. And, you know, fleshly excess is very, very desirous. Okay? Neither shall they come in unto you. These foreigners shall not partake with you. You shall not go into them. You shall not have children with them. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. He cherished these foreign wives that he brought. All right, Christian men, I want to talk to you out there. How many times have you become entangled in an affair with a woman? And, you know, the first few days are absolutely phenomenal. And then you notice something about her personality or about her religion or convictions that doesn't exactly line up with yours. Do you say, oh, that's a stopper right there. We can't go no further. Or do you say,
yeah, I'll try to work with that.
She's so pretty. Yeah. Oh, it's okay. Yes, yes. Once a month, we can do tarot cards in the living room, okay? Yeah. I just won't participate. I'll just sit there and watch. Beauty and desire will cloud the spirit man because the flesh will take over. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. Excess to 1,000 women. I've tried to do the numbers on this. I don't think he even seen some of them for years. You know, obviously you have his favorites. Why 1,000? It's humanly impossible for a man to service 1,000 women. Is it not, Jonathan?
Yeah.
Or am I just a lesser man than most?
Yeah, I'd say Solomon's a whole different breed.
Solomon was a man. Or Solomon quickly grew bored of the things that he got through excess. And I've noticed that in my life. You know, the more you get, the more you want. And the things that you had to have are sitting in the garage piling up with dust because you never even look at them anymore. So, yeah, I got to have one of the Ethiopians. I don't have one of those yet. Oh, year later, put her in palace number 647.
Take a number, now serving wife number 732.
It's been 3 minutes. Where's 732? Go ahead, go 734. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. That's his heart was not perfect. The same thing God said about David. David's heart was perfect. Even though his flesh had gone crazy and murdered and committed adultery and lied. But this one says Solomon's heart was not perfect. David's perfect heart got him through that time. But Solomon's heart has failed. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David his father. David's perfect heart brought salvation to David even though David sinned mightily. That's what it says. Follow me with all your heart. If you do that, when you fall on your face in sin, your heart brings the salvation because that is the only thing God will judge you for. He won't judge you by what your flesh was allowed to do. He'll judge you by the desire of your heart. Did your heart ever waver? Did it ever not want to follow God, even though you found yourself in places you didn't want to be? For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abominations of the Ammonites. Remember all these gods when Israel crossed over the Jordan and took the land? God said, destroy these gods. Take the gold they're made of, grind it into powder, and throw it away and burn it. Don't even reuse the gold. Does he not know the history? Probably not. We've seen that all through Judges. And we're going to see a reoccurring theme here in Kings. At one point, they don't know anything about the law. They find an old dusty book in the temple. Look, sire, this ancient book. It says it's our law. And he says, oh, you got to be kidding. Bring it in here. Let's read it.
Wait a minute, we're not supposed to have a brothel here?
Yeah.
Wait.
How can it be? An ancient book. My father never told me about that. What did God command the fathers? Tell the children everything. Build pillars so that the children will ask, Father, what is that pillar for? Oh, that's when God brought us over the Jordan on this time. What is that there for? That's when God did a miracle. But they've all stopped educating their children, America. We have now amongst us a new generation that knows nothing of God, knows nothing of our great founding, knows nothing of this beautiful Constitution which God inspired men to create so that God could use this nation to spread the gospel throughout the world. There were two things this nation was created for: to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. That's why it was set apart from all the rest. And we have one more mission: to protect Israel in a very major upcoming last days battle. And then we will suffer the vengeance of God for the sins that we have done by not educating our children and following him with all of our hearts. Catch that on Between the Lines, a day in prophecy, or? It's
a
there.
A time such as this.
A time such as this, yes. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. So excess has brought him to where, yes, his heart is still in there, still loves God, but the flesh is on autopilot. Excess, more of this, more of that. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, another god he sets up a temple for, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, overlooking God's temple. And for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Now the Lord actually came directly to him in a dream and said, don't follow after other gods. It's one thing to get it from your pastor. Another thing when God comes right into your mind and tells you. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son, because your father loved me so much more than you do. I'm not going to take the kingdom from you. You're going to get a pass. You shouldn't. I should rip it away from you right now. But you're going to get a pass because of your father. The blessings of your father I will continue to give to you. Howbeit, I will not rend away the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for the Jerusalem's sake, which I have done. So, this is upcoming when Judah and Israel shall become two separate nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. Ah, you better be careful, King Solomon. You're sending pregnant women all over the place. You know what? A son of yours has a claim to the throne. They are royal princes. So one of his sons down in the south. Ah, I am my father's son, King Solomon's son. I am heir to the throne. You know, what percentage, I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter. Because I have it in my heart, because God put it there. He didn't know that. I have it in my heart to take over. For it came to pass, when David was in Edom, Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom. 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he had cut off every male in Edom, and Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go to Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran. They came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house, and appointed him victuals, and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife, the sister of Tephanes, the queen. Would he not have been able to acquire the sister of Pharaoh's wife had he not been a royal prince? And the sister of Tapans bare him Ginnabath, his son, whom Tapanes weaned in Pharaoh's house, and Ginnabath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. When Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers, and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad had said to Pharaoh, let me depart, that I may go to mine own country. Pharaoh said unto him, but what hast thou lacked with me? You got it good here, son. Why do you want to leave? That I behold, thou seekest to go to thine own country. And he answered, nothing. You have given me everything that I need. Howbeit, let me go in any wise. And God stirred him up, another adversary, Rezon the son of Eliada, which fled from the Lord, Hadadezer, king of Zobah, and he gathered men unto him and became captain over the band, which David slew of them in Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. What are we seeing right here? When you stop following God with all your heart, controversy and problems come in. And you see, God not only allows it, he orchestrates it. Because Paul said, does the liberty in Christ give me freedom to sin? God forbid, he will lay the rod to my back. Solomon's kingdom has enemies gathering all around it. Not even sure if he's aware of it at this time. But it's all because his heart is not falling after God anymore. You see the lavish, what did we say last chapter? The most fantastical place on earth. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But not now. Well, it still is, but the storms are rising. Had at any moment he cleaned those gods out and began following after God, all of this would have gone away. God would have seen to it. And he was an adversary to Israel in all the days of Solomon. Beside the mischief that Hadad did, and he abhorred Israel, and reigned over Syria, and Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephelite of Zeba, Solomon's servant, whose mother was of Zariah, a widow woman. Even he lifted up his hand against the king. Even the lesser servants are starting to rebel. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. It came to pass at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment. And they two were alone in the field. So he finds the prophet out in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. So he rips his gown off of him and tears it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. So he's going to be given the nation of Israel. And the other two pieces are Judah and a portion of Benjamin. And they will be in the south. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways, to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. You ever wonder which one of the commandments was the most important? There shall be no other God before me. God makes a way for breaking all the other ones. Not that he wants you to. It's a moral guidepost. But yes, we're sinful. We'll do it. But to have another God before Jehovah takes a concerted heart. I am going to do this thing. You don't accidentally get another God. You can accidentally murder someone. You can get tangled up in webs and tell lies. You can be overcome in the moment and steal something. But to have another God, you must have a mind that wishes to go that direction. Mm-hmm. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of the hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. So, God has anointed a new king of Israel, although he says, I will allow Solomon to die on the throne because David his father loved me so much. I pray that my child one day gets redemption and blessings from God because I love the Lord enough, or forgiveness, or something that I can say, that God can say, I know your father loved me, and because of that, the punishment will be less, you know. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and will give it to unto thee, even 10 tribes, and unto his son will I give 1 tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem. So, you're going to take the kingdom away, but I made a promise to your father that his seed will sit on the throne. The city which I have chosen me to put my name in. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. And it will only go downhill from there. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, wilt walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. Okay, so I'm going to give you the nation of Israel and keep Judah for David. And if you follow me with all your heart, you will be blessed. How many times, Jonathan, has God said that so far?
Yeah.
Countless times, yes, to everyone that comes on the scene. How many of them have been victorious in following God with all their heart? Zero. David got very close. Moses got very close. Jesus Christ is the only one that can do it. He's the only one that will ever traverse this life in a sinless fashion, following God, his Father, with all his heart. Because it's an impossibility. And it goes back to the garden, the two bloodlines that are in this world, the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam. And we're all mixed. And the Hebrews here are all mixed at this time, except for a few bloodlines. And God is doing his utmost to preserve one bloodline that doesn't get mixed with the seed of the serpent, so that he can bring forth the Messiah and do away with the law and bring redemption. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. How far has Solomon fallen at this point? Do we see Saul here? Oh, God has anointed another king. Go kill him. That was the last few years of Saul's life. He was indulged with killing David because he knew he was going to get the throne. So maybe had the spirit of Solomon just been a little stronger, he would have repented. God has changed his mind in this book many times. But no, God has anointed another king to take your place when you're dead. Oh, well, I'll fix that. I'll go and kill this guy. As if actually killing him would have stopped the process. God would have anointed another one. Fighting against God now, the same as Saul did. And Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. That was easy enough. I just go back home to where I used to live. I'll wait till you to die. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. The Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now for ages, we have read this book countless times. For ages, I thought, Solomon was given the gift of wisdom beyond anyone. How does he begin following after other gods with all of that wisdom? But the wisdom is in the mind. God says, I place the spirit man in the heart. And he's supposed to take charge of this mind, which is contrary to God, no matter how wise it is. And gain control of this flesh. It's up to the spirit that God has placed inside the heart. It doesn't matter how much wisdom you had in your mind. If the spirit man goes to sleep, the mind is contrary to God. And we see that lesson right there. You with your PhD from MIT. I don't care how brilliant you are. If your heart does not follow after God, it is useless and it will end in destruction. That's been a good one today. I feel like I've been digging a ditch. All worked up. Hope I didn't spit on the microphone.
It's all
Been good to be here with you, Jonathan, on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Remember, one of the major themes in this Old Testament is the heart. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan, exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.